Emerson radio program. Rick, tell Sarah it's no big deal. They'll only issue a bench warrant for her arrest. She'll end up handcuffed and stripped in county. Nope, no big deal. How about this? I once served on a grand jury for 18 months. We had to get together 3 days a week, 8 hours a day, sat in a small room, watch cops present evidence. Oh, and we made $40 a day, so it'll balance out your radio wage. Let's see. Well, okay, we do get the more.
Something that long to turn into a book deal if you're smart enough to get somebody lined up.
I suppose. So you got to hold out for something really notable. 503-733-2970. All right. We'll take care of this here in a while. So this is, see if there's anything else here. I'm seeing if there's anything inaccurate in the jury summons. Like if they send it to the wrong place or if it's...
No, it's me.
No, it's all...
It's all me.
No, it's all here. No, I don't think there's any conceivable way to say that you didn't receive this.
I just got an email from someone who said that they used being in the media. I tried that and the judge looked at me and said, I trust you won't say anything about these cases. Yes, Your Honor. Good. I'd hate to have to toss you in jail for violating the court's trust.
Fantastic. Well, they can't throw me in jail. Although I guess that's not true.
It is, of course, all about you.
We got plenty of best ofs. Don't worry.
No. Well, no, I'm not saying it's about me, but I'm saying if I do the best I can to try to corrupt this whole process so they can't possibly pick you. All right. Well, later on, I'll just call the desk and talk to either Patty or Selma, whoever.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll talk some sense into them. They'll be really happy to help you out.
I'll whip the government into shape. I'll make the government do my bidding. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, prophet, seer, and a revelator. Make way!
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Bullies force a Beaverton middle schooler to eat laxative brownies. Yes, the parents are very upset that their son Justin has been harassed by a few of his classmates over the past year. It started as typical teasing, but recently it escalated. I'm kind of scared to go to school now because of what happened, said Justin. The eighth grader said two bullies talked him into eating a chocolate brownie. They said it had M&Ms, but it actually contained laxative.
That's an oldie but a goodie. Yeah, it never gets tired. And first of all, the bullies talked him into eating something. I'm sure that's how bullies do things now. They talk you into doing it.
Right.
Where was this at?
Beaverton.
Yeah.
Well, the middle school.
Yeah.
Apparently, the boys behind the prank have been talked to. There's no word on what punishment they may receive.
All right. And so this is what? They just forced the kid to eat or whatever? And
They talked him into it.
They had speaks with a bit of a chin wag. And he had what? Explosive diarrhea or whatever?
Apparently so, yes. And he went to the hospital.
Kent Mansley style?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then a 12-year-old boy is in critical condition after allegedly crashing the car he was driving. This happened at 3 o'clock yesterday in Woodland, Washington. He lost control. He was taken to OHSU with life-threatening injuries. His two passengers, his dad's girlfriend, and her 12-year-old daughter were treated for minor injuries and released. There doesn't appear to be any legal jurisdiction for the boy being behind the wheel.
How old is the kid?
12.
Wait, that was here?
That happened in Woodland, Washington.
In Woodland. So the kid is 12. The passengers are dad and dad's girlfriend.
Just the dad's girlfriend and his daughter.
The dad's daughter or the girlfriend's daughter?
The girlfriend's daughter.
Mm-hmm. That's a hot double date. Okay, well, there you go.
Then we have this Vancouver, Washington woman admitting in court into coma she coached her kids to pretend they were retarded. Rosie Costello says the kids are 4 and 8 years old when she began to coach them to pick at their faces, slouch, and be uncommunicative. It worked for several years. Apparently, the son, who continued to feign retardation in meetings with Social Security officials into his mid-20s, finally got caught. The scheme came to light last year after Pete Costello got a traffic ticket while driving away from the administration's Vancouver office, who was then videotaped contesting the ticket in court. Rosie Costello collected more than $280,000 in benefits for her retarded children.
There's big money in retardation. Mm-hmm. It's all about retardation these days. Okay, and ball
that
bearings.
Would be a great court case for Sarah X. Dillon. Now she can get something like this.
Seriously.
Oh, I guess all the good stuff's in Vancouver and Tacoma.
Well, this says there's something about Gresham in here. I'm trying to figure out what it is. This is written. It's very confusing. But there's something about going. There's something about having to go to Gresham. A panel of jurors may be selected from jurors reporting who will be assigned to serve at the court's East County Courthouse in Gresham, Oregon. Man, that'd be best thing ever.
Lots of cockfighting cases over there.
Totally. It's kind of impressive, actually, with the retard, the pseudo retards, the pseudo tards. The I mean, 4 years old. I mean, 4 year old kids aren't all that bright. The fact that you could, you know, that's like Haley Joel Osment stuff. The fact that you could get your kid to convincingly act retarded at from the age of four. Yeah, a little thespian there. A little Olivier. Sort of a funny way. Let's see. This is Joshua. Hello, sir.
How you doing? You guys are looking at this all wrong. This is a chance to change the law right here. Get on the Fully Informed Jurors Association. I'm sure they got a website. Thing is, a jury can decide. The judge is going to instruct you.
This is about jury nullification.
Exactly.
Yeah, every talk radio host gets this call like once a year. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that's it. And then you let them know that you're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a real opportunity for you.
Dale Gribble.
Mm-hmm. They'll never call you again.
Okay. Well, I think they're probably never going to call us again one way or the other. I think they're never going to call us again, and we're all going to end up in the same cell somewhere. So, yeah, we'll figure it out. The thing is, she'll never end up on any case in a matter. You know it'll totally be some issue about, like, a guy whose apples fell in his neighbor's yard, you know, and the neighbor cut the tree down without asking. That's totally going to be what it is. It won't be some exciting case about a guy who put his neighbors through a wood chipper. Sadly. All right. Thank you, Joshua.
Enjoy.
All right. There you go. That's Joshua. All right. Hey, Rick, will you ask Sarah to take some hot pictures of herself in prison chained to the other inmates? Thanks a lot. Something good needs to come out of all this. That's true, sir. All right. Here's Tim
Riley. I can hear the photoshopping again. No.
Do it. Do it now. All right.
I'm sorry. I keep being yelly today. I'm a little stressed. I really don't want to do this.
How about this, Rick? Sarah's going to jail. Well, it's just layers of great that, like, we say that, and then Tim and I immediately just burst into gales of laughter. This is like the dead clown story yesterday.
Do you have as good as the dead clown story? Maybe you'll get a dead clown case.
Do you have the soap opera music, Sarah?
Probably. I don't know where it is.
Yes, you do.
She's going to hide all the music bits if she has to do. And we have to get some scraggly board up.
Booby trap the studio. I remember when a certain person destroyed Sarah's car. The court was there for her. Now that the court needs Sarah.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the whopping $36. Maybe I could shake someone's hand on there.
Now that the court needs Sarah, she tries to evade her responsibility. Also, keep in mind the court may use Sarah as an example to others. Being a high-profile radio celebrity, not to evade jury duty.
Oh, kind of a Martha Stewart type thing?
And then he says, I don't know, I'm not a judge. Or maybe I am.
Genius.
Seriously, what if the judge knows you? What if the judge knows me and just thinks I'm an ass? Yeah, screw that Rick Emerson, because it is all about me. What if the judge just knows this program and just despises us? We do have any number of friends who work in civil service. We do have any number of foes who work for the government as well, though. So that's kind of a toss-up right there.
Even it's still foes.
A bit of a mixed bag. Rick, did I hear you say that if Sarah doesn't fill out her form and show up, she'll be punished and sent to live in Gresham? No, sir. Yes, both cruel and unusual. Here's Tim Riley.
In Salt Lake City or bust. Due to public demand, you can now fly nonstop to Salt Lake from either Salem or Yakima.
Woohoo!
SkyWest Airlines is operating 250-seat flights daily, but book early, there's going to be a big demand. Meanwhile, get this. There's some church people. Well, some father there, James E. Poole, is being sued for molesting young girls.
Oh.
I had to read it two or three times.
I was just going to say, I was laughing because it clearly was one of those stories that you hadn't pre-read.
No, I did read it. I couldn't.
Okay, what?
Despite knowing that a priest had a history of deviant sexual interest in young girls,
officials
allowed him to transfer to Portland in the 1960s and went on to molest a young girl. This young girl is now 48, and she's suing. The last time somebody sued this father who had an interest in young girls, they got $1 million back in 2005.
Well, all right. Well, that wasn't here, was it?
Yes, it was.
Where?
It came from Multnomah County Circuit Court.
Maybe Sarah will get a clergy molestation trial. That'd be interesting.
Oh, that could be, because this is fresh, and it could end up in the same... Could have been up in the...
Let me ask you this, Sarah. If you could be on the jury for any kind of criminal case, what would it be?
Ooh, I don't know. I'd probably... I don't know, some, like, trashy, like, woman who murders her like, boyfriend. They live in a trailer because he was shipping her best friend.
Okay, see, that'd be good.
See, that would almost be
worth it. Let's see. Tyler the hippie. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Speaking of court, this is kind of crazy. Our neighbor currently is spending some jail time now for... shooting our baby pet goat that went onto his property.
What?
Yeah.
You had a pet goat?
Yeah, we had two baby pet pygmy goats.
That's
sad. They escaped and wandered onto his property, and he blew them away with a shotgun.
And
oh,
now
what
is
a bad person.
See, Sarah, now you could be on a jury.
Hang them. Send a
person like that to jail, Sarah. You could do
I'm
the right
sure
thing.
I'm sure everyone wants to send a person like that to jail.
I'll be on the jury for that.
Yeah, seriously. Just to a raping jail.
Yeah, so, anyways, I knew Tim being a vegetarian and all would appreciate hearing that story.
Well, and us having hearts, we care, too.
Well, seriously,
we don't care about people.
No, we don't care about...
I don't baby
care about,
ghosts?
I don't care about what people ever done to
me.
Seriously. Yes, but a fuzzy thing with 4 feet? You put it... We're there.
I've never been harassed by a baby goat.
Yeah, a baby goat has never fired me. A baby goat never raised my rent. A baby goat never arrested me. Baby goat doesn't tax me. A baby goat has never changed the format of my radio station. So, yeah, I have nothing against baby goats. So, yeah, all right. Well, I'm sorry that happened. Well, let's hope that the person who did it is being beaten in jail right now.
It's possible. I'm not sure. He's kind of a big guy, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, but abuse the animal, go to jail.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, party on, guys.
There you go. That's a big buzzkill. Thanks for that.
It was.
I thought it was going to be amusing. Well, it said neighbor in jail for goat shooting. And I thought it was going to be...
Oh, gee, what was not clear?
I thought it was going to be funny somehow, like clown shooting. And then
the goat might have shot somebody.
Well, no, I thought it was sort of... Like, I didn't think maybe the goat died. I thought maybe it was going to be sort of wacky. Like it was a guy running around...
The goat was just badly wounded.
The goat accidentally pulled the trigger in the back of the truck.
Goat shoots man. I thought maybe... I had this image in my head of a guy, nude for some reason, running around with a musket, chasing a goat.
You problem.
A question for my shrink.
A nude man chasing goats? That's what you think with goat shooting?
I was picturing a nude man with a musket chasing a goat around.
I suppose that's a common night.
Firing a gun and then going to jail. A raping jail. All right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
A Gresham raping jail.
A scabby Gresham raping jail.
Well, did it snow where you are? It snowed as low as 500 feet today. It was snowing in Beaverton.
It snowed last night.
Eight flakes of snow, even at Scotty's.
It was snowing in Beaverton. It was snowing, I think, in parts of Vancouver. And then even I heard it was snowing in Northwest, too.
Let's see. An inch of snow fell in Sylvan Hill, also the West Hills, and Council Crest. So it's supposed to be melting. But it's supposed to snow some more this afternoon. So don't complain if you see it.
This email says, how sad is it that Howard K. Stern walks free and breathes the air, yet just Sarah Dillon's going to get shivved in the mess hall within the next month? The wheels of justice. Let's see. Well, there's some people saying that it's there's nothing much to worry about.
Once you get in.
Sarah, the key is to either kick someone's ass or become someone's bitch the first day. That's what you want to do right there. Conjugal visits, not that I know of. Here's Tim Riley. Avoid a guy named Grossberger. Here's Tim Riley. Let's do one more and then we'll break.
No, we haven't had one of these in a while. It's time for a Cheney Watch.
Here's your Cheney Watch for Tuesday in the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
But not that close. 23 people surrounding Dick Cheney got killed. 20 others wounded, but Dick Cheney, they missed him. He was visiting this U.S. Military base in Afghanistan today when it occurred. The Taliban is taking credit for the attack that ended up taking up to those 14 lives. Senator Saxby Chambliss says Cheney was...
Who?
Saxby Chambliss.
What is with all these great names lately? These are all like Tennessee Williams names.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Saxby Chambliss says, Cheney is in good hands with the military guarding him.
Very attractive for the Taliban to take off after a high-profile target like the vice president. But frankly, his security is so tight while he's there, they know that there's simply no way they could get to it.
Except for the 23 people who died. Saxby Chamberlain says it's almost impossible for any terrorists, to reach a high-profile target.
We have to stop the war on tourism.
The security is so tight that there was absolutely no way they could get to Cheney. But it is disconcerting, obviously, that they could even get inside one checkpoint.
I think the rule of thumb here is don't stand with Dick Cheney anywhere when he's outdoors, because the odds are high that you may be shot.
The attack against the military facility where the vice president was staying is an isolated attack, says Tony Snow.
We've often said about acts of terror, an individual who wants to commit an act of violence or kill him or herself, very difficult to stop, but I'm not sure that you can draw larger conclusions about any organization.
He's a time waster, isn't he? Tony Snow says the investigation continues. Try to find out what happened.
Rather than making presumptions about the proximity of the vice president, it is a large facility. I really think it's probably, again, better to let people do the forensics on it, figure out what's going on. They can render judgments later.
You have no idea what he actually was.
You're true. You're really true about this. You're right. He is just sort of the packing peanuts of the White House press corps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just sort of there filling the time. Just looking at he's looking at that second hand on the wall, just waiting until C-SPAN goes back to book talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost time for the election. Let's run off the clock. Tony Snow said the president was informed about the attempt on the vice president this morning.
He was told by staff this morning, and his reaction is, you know, first inquired about making sure the vice president was okay, and he was reassured by that, and obviously he'll continue to get intel about what happened.
Intel.
Like, he really knows if anything this actually happened.
If this is any actual news, telling people something they didn't know before.
Fantastic.
Plenty of time wasting.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Is that the Cheney watch.
Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Everybody, I see you looking my way.
Rick, the problem now is all these great excuses are being broadcast. This is great evidence for a contempt case. Best show ever.
They're probably listening in the judge's lunchroom.
Totally. Well, really, and like the number of people who listen to this program who have some connection to the city government, you know that there's any number of emails being forwarded. Are you listening to the Rick Emerson program? And now they're going to go in and try to deceive the wheels of justice tomorrow.
But it's not a deception.
No, it's not a deception.
It's not. There's nobody else to do my job.
It's true.
I'm lazy and dirty, and I lost my piece of paper until yesterday.
You should preface the thing with lazy and dirty.
Yeah.
I can't serve on your jury. I'm lazy and dirty. Rick, why can you not picture anything in your head without a naked man making an appearance? Just wondering. That's not true. It was just that one where he was chasing a goat with a musket. Let's take a break. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, when we come back, we're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum from New York City. I don't even really know about what. I think he's covering a charming dog story, but I'm not sure. Anyway, talk to him. Later on, we got Lisa Goddard coming up. And more of it. And I'm going to get Sarah out of this jury duty. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here's Ben Weasel and the Riverdales. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I never did read this Anna Nicole Smith embalming email. Well, we'll get to that later. This is from our friend Brent, who I think embalms people. And it contains...
He used to. I don't know if he still does, but I know for a fact he used to.
But that's where... But it was, so he,
maybe
but
it's
he,
just a hobby.
He was an amateur embalmer.
Like a correspondence source.
There's all kinds of things that if you... Well, never mind. So, anyway, it contains the phrase discolorization, saggy, and stumpy torso. So we'll get to that. What else? We'll talk to Lisa Goddard coming up. Scotty, I don't know if these are screened or not. I don't even think Scotty's in there. I think these
you know
phones...
what he's busy doing?
Ah, no, he's screening.
Yeah.
I can tell he's...
And also, I accidentally kind of tipped him off on maybe what he might be talking about today. And that was such a mistake because
about
now
the suburban
he's
perspective.
Yeah, now he's just printing out hundreds of pages on the topic.
That. You can't, no, yeah, you can't
well,
do that.
Well, it stems from something that he had said earlier.
The thing is, when Scotty comes in and he's bitching about something or whatever, if you at all tip your hand, I can't form thoughts or sentences today. If you tip your hand at all.
I'm glad you're calling the jury for me.
Hello? Sarah no can come
she
do jury work. Sarah no think good. If you tip your hand at all about the suburban perspective thing, all Scotty does, he just goes to Wikipedia and he just prints out like 100 pages of crap that he brings
in. That kind
of
makes it more amusing to me because I know that he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about, but he's reading it off the paper trying to sound like he knows what he's talking about.
Well, what he doesn't know is that we've changed topics. So
yeah.
It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, For the first time anywhere, that's not really true. For the first time here, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York, CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum.
Wow.
Hi. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. I wish I got a welcome like that everywhere I went.
Well, you know, other radio
Have
shows...
Have people not been nice to you, Steve?
They've been nice, but not so full of energy.
You would say that they have been cordial, but not overly effusive.
I would say that.
All right. Well, you know what? Other radio shows are staffed by pinheads and morons, my friend.
I would say that if I knew those words.
You know, here's the thing. If I were you, Steve Kastenbaum, I would get used to a wide disparity between your treatment on this radio program and your treatment at the hands of others' lesser shows.
Well, if the treatment continues like this opening, then I'm going to be in store for a lot of fun.
You don't even know, my friend. Now, if we like you and decide to have you back at some point, which I think is going to happen,
which
because
we will, don't
you?
Be
no, there. I'm just saying. You seem like a nice guy. If this relationship continues between you, Steve Kastenbaum, and us, the Rick Emerson Radio Program, at the end of this phone call, we'll ask you. Well, here's the thing: we'll let you pick your own theme. Now we've got the Star Wars sounder there.
Star Wars, but because I saw that a million times when I was a kid. But I'm not one of those folks who goes to Star Wars conventions. Just got to let you know that.
Well, that is the default theme for anybody that doesn't yet have their own theme. So the other CNN radio correspondents, they have their introduction. Music, so you might want to be thinking about it. Put a little mental brain power toward that. A little horsepower toward thinking about what you might want your introductory music to be.
Sounds great. I didn't know I was going to have that. I'm excited.
Well, it's what we do. It's part of the Rick Emerson Show's welcome to the family package, Steve. So now you're at CNN. I swear to God, you are your own story today. I'm looking at the CNN prep sheet, and normally it's like, you know, somebody's talking about Iraq, somebody's talking about the budget, or somebody's talking about Anna Nicole Smith. It just says, new guy, please schedule Steve Kastenbaum to on your radio program so you can welcome him to the team. So, hello.
That's all they gave you today. They said, nobody else, just Steve.
That's pretty much it. So apparently, you know, it says that you are a native New Yorker with years of experience covering the city, and that you came to CNN Radio from 1010 Winds. Is that true?
Yes, I reported on the news of the day here in New York for 11 years running.
Fantastic. Is that a CBS radio station, Winds?
It's a CBS-owned and operated station. Yes, it is.
Ah, an O and O, as they say. Fantastic. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So, now, what bring it, if I can ask this, now, what brought you to CNN? Now, was it the next logical step, or is it the...
Well, first of all, it was so my mother could brag to all of her friends that her son is on CNN.
And my Steven, he works for CNN now.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I've got that CNN label attached to me. Nothing else compares, you know?
Fantastic.
And of course, you know, the opportunity to be on stations around the country. I mean, being on New York is great. It's fantastic. You know, no 2 days were the same. But, you know, sometimes you just need to branch out and spread your wings a little bit and see what else is out there.
Now, you don't have what one would think of as typically being a New York delivery style or a cadence or an accent for your speech. Now, is that a thing you just never had? You work on losing that.
Oh, boy, did I work on losing that Brooklyn accent. I'm born and bred in Brooklyn, so... yeah, I had to work on that.
Now, is it a thing that you can turn back on if you need to? Like, if you need to speak to your people?
Of course, forget about it. You want me to argue with you about a parking ticket anytime? Anytime, man. I'll take you on.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent. Oh, wait, no, I do see here that they gave you a charming dog story.
Yes, I have the story involving the 14-year-old boy who was hearing impaired wanted to bring his service dog, his new service dog, to school with him. And the school was opposed to that for a number of reasons. In fact, there was just a ruling a short while ago in federal court, and the judge ruled against the family, said the dog has to stay at home. Simba cannot go to school.
Simba. It says here, should a 14-year-old deaf high school student be allowed to take his assistance dog? Well, I thought that was the whole thing. I thought that was that's what they were for.
Yeah, you know, I would think the same thing. You would suspect that it would be a no-brainer, but the school had some opposition to it because... Well, first of all, they thought that a 14-year-old boy might not be fully equipped to handle a dog properly if the dog suddenly acts out. And then the other issues involved health concerns. Some students might have been allergic to the dog. Apparently a teacher is also allergic to dogs. And they were also saying that the student is very well cared for in the school, that he wasn't being discriminated against, that they had a sign language interpreter for him, and that he had a student note taker, and the teacher even used an FM transmitter microphone that was wired directly into his hearing implant.
That kind of seems like over-solving the problem of a lot of
ways.
Is this a public school?
It is a public school, and it's out in Long Island in the suburbs of New York.
Yeah, it says they were afraid. The school district officials say that John Cave Jr.'s dog poses a safety threat. I would think that the safety threat would simply come from attending a New York public school, but perhaps I'm just engaging in rash generalizations.
Well, you know what? This is the suburbs, a totally different world.
You know, here's the schools are just staffed, by and large, by just small-brained, tiny-souled people who live just to exert tiny amounts of control over people who are beneath them in the power structure to make up for some sort of a personality-based inadequacy or deficiency. And we all know this to be true.
Well, so. I'll have to tell you, there is a tremendous amount of bureaucracy in the school systems on Long Island, especially in Nassau County, which is the closer county to New York City. You'll find three or four schools will make up one school district, and that one school district will have an entire set of superintendents and assistant superintendents just for four schools. It's a big issue because it causes taxes to skyrocket in these towns. And
yeah.
People are up in arms about it these days.
Hey, really, on a completely unrelated subject, have you, Steve Kastenbaum, new guy for New York, New York, for CNN Radio, have you ever tried to get out of jury duty, and if so, were you successful?
I have to admit that when I was much, much younger and a little foolish, I just totally ignored the jury duty card.
Really?
Back. Yes.
Now,
no.
here's the thing. There's a radio program. Let's call it the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
And on this so-called Rick Emerson Show, there's a woman, we'll call her Sarah Dillon, who may, in fact, be sitting a few feet from me right now.
Okay.
Who got this jury summons sent out on the 1st of this month. A jury summons that was supposed to have been sent back a week ago.
It's dated on the 1st of the month. I don't know necessarily if it came on the 1st of the month.
Okay. Why don't you rehearsing for tomorrow? And she comes in this morning clutching this, like, dog-eared piece of paper. She's like, was I supposed to send this back? And they wanted to meet her tomorrow. And there's all kinds of things in here, like contempt of court and criminal sanctions may be imposed and so forth. And so I'm thinking about just claiming as her employer that she's a deaf mute and isn't going to be able to respond to any of their questions. And I'm wondering about the efficacy of that.
It's really scary when you get those letters, but I was 18. What did I know, you know, when I didn't answer?
She doesn't have that excuse anymore, my friend.
Yeah. What are you saying there?
I don't know. I'm just going to call up later, and I'm going to kind of spin some web of lies to get her out of this jury duty. So I don't know if you had any ideas.
Talking about that on the air, Rick.
Oh, no one's listening.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you had any help.
It's not a web of lies, because there isn't anybody. The only person who could fill in for me tomorrow actually has a doctor's appointment, so she can't.
Mm. Aren't they typically understanding in those jury pools?
No, not really. Yeah, the government's always really flexible. The government's always a soft touch for things like this. All right. Well, my friend, B, it's been a charming and delightful exchange we've had here. So I'm sure we'll be speaking in the future. Congratulations on the new gig here at CNN.
Thank you.
Be thinking about what you might want for your introduction music, Steve.
I definitely will, and I actually have to say I love Portland. I've been through there before.
God bless you, sir. Well, you love our city, we'll love yours back, and it'll all be a wash.
Excellent.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks a lot.
Right,
bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. There you go. There's Steve. All right. What a charming individual.
I like him.
I like that guy. All right. There you go. Fantastic. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here we are.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
I was running back into the room from my news gathering area.
I can read more emails if you like.
No, I'm ready.
How about this?
No.
Maybe that Gresham mom can teach Sarah how to act retarded so she can get out of jury duty. You should totally just go in there and just every time they ask you a question, just, you know... You know, just Sarah, what do you poop? You know, and just and then just sort of.
Like, I really would have no shame in doing that.
Twitch uncontrollably in your chair.
Well, I think everyone's guilty.
Yeah. Well, everybody is guilty. Here's the thing: if you're on trial, you're probably guilty of something. We all know that. Come on, we can. Now, you may be guilty of something that we don't think should be illegal, but I mean, come on. Let's be honest. If you're on trial for something in this country, especially if it's for many, many dozens of somethings, you're probably guilty of at least one of them.
Totally, and if I was part of some kind of trial, what I'd want to do is make it have the most terrible ending possible. Even if the person was innocent, I'd want to make them guilty. That way I could talk about the case that I saw, whereas the person turned out to be
guilty.
Seriously,
you know, one need only look at the example of Nancy Grace to, Rick, Sarah should not scoff at being paid $36. That's enough for a VIP buyout of 6 different showings of the Cirque du Soleil de Calais. All right, here's Tim Riley.
She'd have been in the VIP box for that.
Totally.
Well, Anna Nicole Smith's ex-boyfriend and self-proclaimed father of 5-month-old Daniel Lynn is speaking out. On the Today Show, Larry Birkhead tearfully recalled the day he heard of Anna Nicole's death.
A friend of mine, and he said, we want you to hear about this on television.
Oh, this is such fake crying.
Like, and I just said, no. I said, no, save her. Somebody save her. I was in my car, and I just said, I'll go save her. If they can, I will.
This guy is so dumb. Was that wrong? I'm sorry. Was that wrong?
Yes, but it doesn't matter.
Have you seen that mouth breather? Like right after the baby was born?
I say no, it's not. And then you immediately just decide
after
to pull
him
off.
Have you seen those horrible pictures of him outside of Toys R Us with like giant teddy bears and like 16 bags just standing on a street corner waiting for paparazzi to take a picture?
Breathing out of his mouth. All right.
Larry Birkhead said Anna wanted him to say something to her every night before she went to sleep.
Get away from my window.
I said, good night, my sweet Anna baby. That's what she wanted me to say to her.
I freaked out.
Every time before she went to sleep.
Somebody's getting ready to talk about that. Good night, my sweet Anna baby. Elton John.
Anna baby. My skin is...
Anna baby. Anna baby.
My skin is crawling. Is he really dumb?
Yeah.
I mean, is he
No, he was a photog. He was one of the people who was behind the...
They're all stupid.
No, he was trying to get in front of the spot. Like, he was always one of the guys behind the camera. Now he's probably stoked because now he's the subject of the paparazzi.
Am I the only one who thinks that sounded like fake crying, though? That totally sounded like fake crying. I don't think anybody in that... I don't think anybody in Hollywood knows how to cry. I don't think any celebrities actually know how to cry for real. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Larry Birkhead says he wants Daniel Lynn to know how great her mother was.
I just want her to know all the good stuff, because in this whole thing, some things come out in court that you really wish weren't said, but I want her to know that she was a great person, that she was a loving person, that she loved kids.
Okay.
Larry Birkhead says he sees a future with his daughter.
I see just me and my daughter, and taking her to school, and just playing, and every time I get at a weak point...
Rushing her to the bathroom and cutting her hair and dying.
And I look at him and say, this is what it's about. My daughter has become my life, and that's what I fight for. What kind of person, what kind of dad would I be if I didn't fight for my daughter?
This is all so creepy. There is no good person.
I don't want to interrupt you unless you have it. Do you have any of the Howard K. Stern and Larry Birkhead negotiations?
I do not know. Please enlighten me.
No good guy.
There's a rumor going around there that I guess Howard K. Stern said that he will give Daniel Lynn to Larry Birkhead for a price.
No.
How messed up is that?
That's so great.
What's the price?
I mean, it's terrible, but I mean, in terms of this story, it's fantastic.
He's selling the baby.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Are there convenient credit terms available? he'll go and get a payday loan.
Have you been turned down for babies elsewhere? Oh, that's fantastic. Have you been told that a baby is beyond your financial reach? Howard K. Stern has a deal for you. All right. Everything must go. All right. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, howdy, stranger.
Oh, don't. Okay, stop. What?
Hey, I was going to say, why don't you have Sarah just write a letter saying that she can't go to the trial because she already knows about the clowns being shot. Okay. not working?
I'll give you a few seconds to come up with, I'm going to give you a few seconds to come up with something funnier. Hold on.
Okay, how about...
Hold on. Just think for a second. All right. Now, all right, hello?
How about, you know, the crowd probably thought it was an act until they didn't see the little flags pop out of the guns that say bang. Can you just lose me on the...
I'm sorry, we're losing your call,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
I like you had to note that it's flags that say bang.
You know, the flags?
As opposed to flags that say onomatopoeia. Here's Tim Riley.
So, sources are telling TMZ that Howard K. Stern has all but conceded that Larry Burkett is the dad.
What?
Sources tell TMZ that Howard K. Stern has all but conceded that Larry Burkett is the dad.
Cool.
Yeah, yesterday's story that Stern had already let Burkhardt spend time with the baby. Then they're told that Stern is willing to cooperate with paternity matters if the price is right.
Oh, that is so effed up.
Stern has his eye on the Bahamian house that Anna Nicole bought. And the boat she purchased just before his death, a boat for a baby, not bad. But that is not the end of Stern's financial wish list. He has set his sights on her other assets as well. Under the will and the laws of inheritance, Daniel Lynn will get all of her mother's assets. Nevertheless, the house, the boat, and other assets are being discussed. It's unclear how Stern would lay claim to the items in question.
This is just so wrong. This is so wrong. It's so creepy.
There just doesn't seem to be a good person in the scenario to root for.
No, there's no good guy. Everybody involved in this story is terrible. Rick, please be asking Steve his marital status next time. He sounds like a cutie, and I'm thinking of moving back to the East Coast. All right, I'll look into it. Here's Tim Riley.
So, if Finville High School boys wouldn't stop spanking girls. A teacher has caught Pat Middle School boys, ages 12 and 13, spanking young ladies. They ordered them to stop. They wouldn't. Administrators are notified, and an investigation began. The investigation by school officials and police allegedly uncover more serious activity. There was a teacher who observed some inappropriate slapping of bottoms. It basically opened up a Pandora's box. The boys faced 5 counts and are being held in juvenile detention. Their parents are furious that the school called police before they called them. The kids are interrogated for 3 hours about the spankings without the parents being there. Superintendent Mary Alice Russell said the district's top priority is the safety and well-being of students. As educators, we have a duty to maintain a safe, orderly environment so students can learn.
The official
we have rules describing expectations for students' behavior, along with consequences for breaking these rules. Students are aware of these rules and consequences. We recommend the students come forward with the facts in this situation. Say the authorities.
It's not like the official pompous educator tone that you put on for that. Scotty is saying the whole thing is blown out of proportion and is BS. The kids did nothing. Well, so I don't understand. So
they're spanking girls.
The girls are being spanked by boys.
Mm-hmm.
Were the girls asking for it?
I
don't mean asking for it like showing their ankles. I mean, were the girls in favor of this spanking?
It doesn't give the girls' side of the story.
The girls... Yeah, were the girls behaving in a teasing manner when Scotty wants to know. All right. And this is a high school?
Middle school.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. That's the creepy middle ground there.
At that age, aren't girls more advanced than boys, would you say?
Nope. I'm going to bite that back, and I'm not going to say it. All right?
And physically, intellectually?
See, there was a comment racing up my gullet. Past my epiglottis, over my tongue, right on my lips right there that I almost made. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to swallow that comment back down, and I'm not going to say it. So, I don't know, Tim. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, let's move up a couple years to college students, shall we?
Thank you so much.
They're now being called Generation Me because they only think of themselves. Yes, a new large study shows college students think more about themselves than others. This is the first time this has ever come up.
There's never been a generation like this before. Ever.
No.
Ever.
Dr. Vanessa Jensen, the psychologist, talks about this new study showing college students care only about themselves.
I think the authors suggest that there may be not just a good confidence, but some concern about if you go too far on the individualism, maybe you lose some of the group idea of how you relate to others and caring about others and being empathic and sort of having a community focus.
Wow, she's a
empathic?
Whore. What?
What'd you say?
I wasn't listening. I said nothing.
We should, though, because she's from the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, no.
No, you're blowing it right.
Oh, no. She's not a whore. She's from the Cleveland Clinic.
It's time to talk to your kids about social responsibility.
It's not always about praising and reinforcing what they do and perform.
I hate this.
But that they're caring and that they have a good friend and to teach those skills. You know, we tend to do a lot of teaching about school subjects, less teaching about things like how you get along with the kid next to you who's different than you.
Spanking bottoms. Hold her down and just kick her repeatedly. From where? Yes, it's all about spanking. Oh, I just got a clarifying email about the spanking.
Is this true?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Apparently, this is an email claiming that... what school was this at?
This is the Patton Middle School in McMinnville.
This guy says, if you read more of the story, he says the spanking was... not on the buttocks. Spanking the front of the girls. That look is priceless. That look right there was just...
No, I have buttock spanking here.
Well, okay. Maybe you have buttock spanking over there, Tim Riley. Over on this side, it's all crotch.
Let me investigate this
all
further.
All crotch all the time?
It's all crotch. It's a crotcheteria over here.
I'm afraid these are just allegations. Let me connect the prison investigation.
Can you imagine that somewhere out there, there's some poor soul tuning into the station for the first time? Good, I can't wait to hear this news hour. I'd like to be informed of the day's events. I'd like to be informed about the stories that are taking place in my community. And then this is what they get. It's a crotcheteria. Crotcheteria and stories in which we're just making up the facts. he claims it's all crotch, this guy. It's all crotch these days. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, you could be consuming more than 5,000 calories by eating dinner at one of your favorite restaurants. The biggest offenders, Ruby Tuesdays and the Cheese Factory. Registered dietitian Neva Cochran of the Cleveland Clinic offers some advice for restaurant diners like anybody would follow these.
Look out for things that are crispy, fluffy, or fried, because anything that's fried or stuffed is going to have more fat. So the best choices when you're eating in a restaurant and looking at appetizers is to look for something that's like a shrimp cocktail or fresh vegetables with a dip.
What a pointy little woman she is. You can just tell, too.
Ruby Tuesday's Colossal Burger weighs in at 1,900 calories and 141 grams of fat. Also making the list, the Cheesecake Factory's Chris's Outrageous Chocolate Cake, topping the scale at 1,400 calories.
Yeah, that's not a lot. I've eaten way more than that.
I think Ruby Tuesday's offers that broom handle of onion rings.
Really? Where's Ruby Tuesday's?
I think it's over by the Rose Garden.
Is there one here?
I believe so, yes.
I've never even heard of Ruby Tuesdays.
One of those happy birthday places.
Me either.
Everyone's having a birthday.
I heard of TGI Fridays.
There's another one at Tennis Board also.
Is it like a Red Robin?
Yes, it's basically the same. I'm thinking Red Robin.
Where there's like an alligator wearing sunglasses on the wall, and then a bunch of people in aprons come out and they sing happy birthday to you.
And it says, please do not park in Denny's parking lot. Your car will be towed.
Yeah. All right. You know what's great is, has anybody here eaten a claim jumper?
My parents love that restaurant. When I go to visit them, like, we actually drive to Seattle. And
yeah. Claim Jumper.
It's really good.
It's so good. It's so trashy, but it's so great.
Oh, they have the best potato skins.
And Dan Savage, who writes the Savage Love column, he wrote a great book, actually, a book called Skipping Toward Gomorrah.
We had him as a guest way back when.
We did. That's right. We had him in the studio. He was the coolest guy, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to have him back so I could do that interview over and not suck so badly. He was really good. I was not so good that day. I was off my game. But he was really good. He wrote this book called Skipping Toward Gomorrah, and he examined the seven deadly sins. And I think he did this whole thing of he and a friend of his went to the Claim Jumper. And the Claim Jumper's big trademark dessert is a slice of cake that's a foot tall. That's the thing. It's like a slice of yellow cake with chocolate that's like a foot high. So it really is just all great. It's all things all American. All right, here's Tim Riley.
I'm doing more research here on this spanking story.
So an issue is whether it's front or back spanking.
Mm-hmm.
I think front spanking is typically called something else.
Front spanking? Is that what you just said?
Well, what would you call it, Sarah?
So what do they say? Turn around to get your front spanked? Is that the issue here?
you have an alternate name, Sarah?
They're really... No. What should I be calling it? I was just trying to find this.
Like my body.
All right.
I've kind of erased the crushed thinking from my mind.
This whole show has become very, very awkward. It has.
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of the program.
I know.
I'm waiting for direction. Let's do one more, and then we'll come back with Lisa Goddard. And we're not going to mention a spanking of anything while she's on hold. Okay, I got a little more here.
Oh, we're totally going to. We're going to embarrass you.
Thank you. The 12 and 13-year-old boys' parents said students were part of a group of boys and girls at Petten Middle School who would spank each other's backsides as part of a handshake or dance. We have this handshake we do, and some of the people at Patton took it too seriously.
I don't think they've been taught
and
properly.
And they thought it was meant in a sexual way. It's not. We're just friends, said one of the girls.
I think
one of the girls.
Somebody taught them how to shake hands incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a greeting?
Apparently, so in middle school.
All right. All right. Well,
I don't see any mention here of frontal slapping.
Mm-hmm. All right. 503-733-2970.
What are you supposed to do in a small town like that? Wait for the harvest to come in?
You don't have cable. You'll make your own fun. Let's go to a barn racing. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard from the Hill. Oh, and then I'm going to call and get Sarah out of jury duty. Right here.
Something that you're going to.
I'm going to. It's going to happen. Wait, there's no phone number here.
There's, oh.
Well, that's going to get in the way. There's no phone number. Well, how... All right, well, we'll figure this out. We'll be back after this. How the hell am I supposed to call? There's no phone number.